Let the children come. So we see the scripture today. Then the people brought the little children to Jesus for him to place their hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. It's an interesting lesson that we see today that's in the Bible about children coming to the Lord and the values that have been given there and the people that try and stop it. Another verse that has come to my mind as I've been contemplating about this passage and contemplating about this talk is in Deuteronomy 11:19, and it says, "Teach God's commands to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." We see here that the parents brought their children to Jesus for prayer. And somehow the disciples saw that this is something wrong, and they stopped them. They rebuked them. "No, we're not doing this." Interesting scene up on the stage. You know, how would it have been? How chaotic would it have been? You know, one of the disciples running off to stop. No, don't come. You could just imagine it. Kids there going, and then I saw a kid actually duck around and behind one of them, and another disciple came along and shooed that kid off. Such is the nature of kids. They see things around, and they, if they want to get to a place, they'll get there. The disciples rebuked them. Parents brought the children to, and the disciples were rebuking the parents. And then Jesus turned it around. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And this is kind of a very tender moment. It's a confronting moment. As Jesus kind of switches the board a little bit for the disciples on that day, and all of that, they would have been like, "Wait a second, this isn't the agenda. This isn't how it should be." You know, the parents, a lot of the times we saw people bringing people for healing to Jesus, seeking help. The parents didn't come with an agenda as we read it in the scriptures there. There's no miracles requested for it. There's actually just a desire for Jesus' touch. That's where the tender moment comes in. And in that tender moment, when they were just seeking a touch from Jesus, the disciples became the gatekeepers. So what was the disciples' mistake that we saw in this moment? They judged the situation as that children didn't have any status. They were dependent, they were noisy, and maybe above more, that they were unproductive. Children just kind of don't add much at times. They drive us crazy. We chase them here and we chase them there, and it's work all around. So the disciples were on a mission. They had busyness over compassion. They had efficiency. Let's get this going. We've got healings to do. We've got other things to do. We've got the word to preach. There's this message going out over people. We don't know what stage of Jesus' ministry this happened. Being in Matthew 19, I suspect it's later on. So they've been around Jesus quite a bit. But they missed his heart. They missed what was important to him. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Stop standing in the way." Children are the picture of the kingdom. And Jesus is approachable and gentle. And Jesus says that the kingdom belongs to such as these. They're trusting, they're humble, they're dependent, they're open and unguarded. Children receive love. They don't earn it. When we have a baby, it doesn't earn the love. It just plain out gets it. And this takes us to the point of the gospel about what the gospel is about. We don't earn Jesus' love. We just receive it. The laying on of hands is a beautiful thing. And it's something we practice at church. The Bible tells us, it commands us, that elders lay the hands on. It just encourages us as people, as folk, to lay hands on. It's a great thing to lay hands and pray for people. Lay hands and bless. It's intentional, it's tender. And in this situation, what I love about it is that it's before understanding, before the kids really get what the story is, what's going on with Christ, what's going on with the whole big picture, they're getting love. Before they actually start adding value, before they start serving, before they start doing something, they're getting a blessing. How cool is that? We're going to get to a verse later on, which we've already had this morning, which is, unless we become like children, unless you change and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I saw a little piece of that this morning as a childlike serving. Micah came and served the emblems around this morning, and I was around the back putting this on, and I missed getting a little bit of the bread, and I don't like missing out. So I whispered to him, I said, "Could I get a bit of bread?" He's just bringing around the wine. He comes over, and with that childlike bit, he picks up a bit of bread and brings it back over to me. Now, as an adult, someone said, "Get me a biscuit, would you? Oh, could you grab me a biscuit or a bit of cake?" We'd pick up the plate, we'd take it over, we'd be all prim and proper and doing it in the way without putting our fingers on it, without doing anything socially outside the bounds, anything that's awkward. And we get there. But don't you love the way that a child can just go, "Look, I'd like to, Micah, could you get me a bit of bread?" And just straight away and bring it over. And I think that's beautiful. And that's actually what Jesus is trying to tell us. He's trying to say some of our actions that we do, we paint too bigger, we make it too hard when there's actually just a simple request there and a simple way of helping someone, and we see it as a way to, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't get a plate. I can't, whatever it, I can't lift it. I can't." I love that childlike coming to Christ and doing something. So I'm going to take it to a personal side for me now. I see my wife's been quite personal this morning. I didn't know she was going to do that. And God has brought children into our lives, as Delphine shared. And that's our own children. But God has also brought many other children into our lives. We've been involved with fostering for a long, long time. We were married 40 years last Sunday. Yeah. And it was actually kind of really quite nice because we talked to Andrew and Viv and we said, "Oh, would you like to come out for lunch?" And they said, "Oh, come around to our place." And we went around and had lunch around at their place. And then one of my kids asked and said, "Dad, what are you doing nice for Mum on the anniversary?" And I said, "Oh, I got us invited around to some friends' place for lunch." It was great. Yeah, we've been married for 40 years, and in that time, we've had children in our home for well over 36 or so of it. And actually even longer, because we took teenagers in at an early stage in our marriage. Many years ago, we invested into a teenager called Lenny. Not a year we'll know about Lenny. And at first, this looked like a boarder. She was just going to come to our place for two weeks. Then a little bit more, and then it was a longer period, and then a longer period, and then she... It's just a fantastic story, and I haven't got time to completely do it today, but if you ever want to hear about the story about Lenny, come and talk to us, because it's a cool story about how God actually worked in her life. God came into the equation. She was brought along by another couple in this church. One of their daughters brought her to church, and in the end, she lived with us for 5 years. And she started investing into our children that were growing up at that time. That looked like reading to them, then trips, then meals, then counselling. And then they, our children, started investing into her children. And the latest thing has been that I see pictures and evidence of her children now investing into our grandchildren. 4 generations. It started from a young lady who started here at Church on Ingesta at about 14 years old. And now, on Friday, she turned 49. A lifetime. You may have noticed other children in our life as well. You might even notice that we've got a 12-year-old in our life at the moment. There's an amazing story about how Danny has come into our life. First, it was as a 5-year-old. She's been one of many over the years. We actually built our house that we live in currently at the moment at 5 bedrooms. There was 3 bedrooms that we built as part of the plans, and we signed on the dotted line for her, her brother, and her sister. 1 week after we'd signed on the dotted line, we were told that we weren't going to get them. It costs. It hurts. 5 years later, it was about 3 years later, she's in our life. And there's a story to that, if you want to hear more about that, I can share that with you as well. We've often said to us, I could never do that what you do. I could never hand them back. We don't have the space. We don't have the time. We don't have the patience. It made me think about this, is what downers have you had said to you? What negative words have you had saying, trying to block you? Don't bring these children up here to the stage. Don't bring the children to Jesus. What blockers have you had said to you? Or have you been the negative person trying to block people? A doctor said to Delphine recently, very encouragingly, you're a bit old to be fostering. Yeah, what do you do with that? How do you look at that? You go, oh, thanks for that, doctor. We really appreciate your opinion. She was having a medical check, which we have to do as one of the many things that you have to do as fostering. They're inconvenient. They're annoying. It costs. It hurts. But God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has brought children into our life on multiple occasions over many years. But it's been a deliberate choice by us to say yes. It costs time, it costs resources, it hurts, it's been uncomfortable, it's been rewarding. It's grown us, It's generational and it's eternal. As I was pondering about what I was going to say, and actually I had a sermon sort of sorted out, and then Lee said, "Nah, that's boring, you've got to redo it." We didn't quite say it quite like that, but I literally had to throw it away and start again. I reflected on the fact that I had some testimonies that had shared with me from some of our children. And I thought they were worthy of bringing to you, just as an encouragement. One of them was from a young man, Stefan. He was with us for 12 years, something, yeah, some extended period of time. And you know what? We didn't see any fruit. And I kept telling myself, it's about keeping them safe. It's about keeping them free of harm. It's about not having them exploited sexually or any other way. It's just giving them a safe place. That was my reasoning that I talked to myself afterwards, because sometimes you don't see fruits for your labor. You don't see stuff happening. And he said this to me, I think last year or the year before, it might have been last year. And excuse his words that I'm reading it as he's written it to me, and English wasn't one of his strong points. "I'd just like to say thank you to you and the family for looking after me when I was a kid. It wasn't easy most of the times, but I do genuinely hold a place in my heart for you guys. You as a family taught me love, which I carried through until this day. Life has been a tough road. I've always learnt the hard way. But having a father guide me through it is why I'm still here. I went away from religion years ago. It wasn't until I was stabbed 5 times and bled out more than a normal human, written off clinically dead, that I realized God had a greater purpose for me on this earth, and I started worshiping him. Number 2, I instantly thought of you and Del." This is Katie, and many of you will know Katie. "I instantly thought of you and Del, and how much you have both helped me over the past 5 years. I'm one blessed girl, and I don't just say that. I genuinely mean it. Having you and Del help me time and time again, when you all should have probably walked away, I pray that you're doing well. You're a great role model." I was quite struck by the last one and the last line of that, "You're a great role model." Man, many times I'm not a great role model. I'm a terrible role model. And I think we look at ourselves and we go, "I can't do that. I'm not a good role model. I'm not great in this situation. I'm not great in that situation. And I don't get it right." And yet the perceived thing from this is that you're a great role model. I don't put that up as a, "Look at me, I'm a great role model," because I straight out confess that, and my wife will give some testimony to that too, but I'd rather not up on the stage, that I'm not a great role model. I struggle. We all have our struggles. And yet we keep on going. We keep on going. This last one is from Catherine. And it was just out of the blue, this comment came, and I loved it. It ticked the right box. "I'm not sure where I would be and what would have happened to me without Gilly and Cheryl and the girls' rally." Gilly and Cheryl, shout out to you. "I'm not sure where I'd be without the girls' rally." Doug's bringing us the rally and bringing this new excitement into the church, and he was just talking with me this morning about how awesome it's been and how great he's found that the children, their responses and everything. This is a testimony from a girl who was in rally 30 years ago, and bless you, Gilly, bless you, Cheryl, just the work that they do from that long ago is still. And this wasn't a question about what's your thoughts on rally. This was just a plain out of the blue comment. "I'm not sure where I would be and what would have happened to me without Gilly and Cheryl and the girls' rally." You know, be Be encouraged, people. Be encouraged that when you put your hands up and when you seek to serve and when you seek to put time into these things, that they're not lost. And you may never hear those words that Gilly and Cheryl have heard this morning. You will never hear it until you get up to heaven and you get told, good and faithful servant. If you can focus on that and see in that, there's young Danny in the driver's seat there. If anyone doesn't know the Danny I was talking about, that's her. You should be able to pick her out later on. Here's a picture of Danny. She's 12, and she's always been told she's too young to drive, mostly by Delphine and I. Wait till you're 16, and actually maybe even older. And yet, here's a picture of her driving, with my son and grandson, no less. You know, children can't wait to have the privileges above their age. Children can't wait to have the privileges above their age. And yet, as adults, we're told we can't come to the kingdom unless we become like children. Do you see that the switch around that actually comes in those words? Children can't wait to get privileges, and yet as adults, we're told we can't come into the kingdom unless we come as children. Do we seek the privileges? Do we seek activity? Do we seek stuff as children or not? We have to look for ways and areas that are appropriate to serve. And yet sometimes, because she's not allowed to drive, they might push the social norms and the rules. And yet, it's fine. Here's some questions for us to think about at this final point. Are we helping or hindering? Are we the ones that are giving encouragement, or are we ones that are blocking? Do we offer harshness, or are we offering grace? Are we about rules, or are we about relationships? What's the bridge? Is the church the bridge? You know, the church is not the barrier. And if church is the bridge, we're the church. We're the bridge. We're the ones that bring people to the Lord. We represent Jesus. Jesus welcomes and values the small. Jesus blesses the overlooked. This isn't just about children, by the way. This message is about the overlooked people. The people that we don't see value in, the people that we can't see helping us and serving. Whatever that might look like, whether that's an old person, whether that's a young person, whether it's a handicapped person, whether that's a whatever. Jesus welcomes and values the small. He blesses those overlooked. He blesses us with our empty hands. Not because we bring anything. And he commands us, to let them come. Matthew 18, verse 3. Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying more than we are just seen and have value. He's saying he sees us all and he loves us all before we loved him. He sees worth. He sees us as a valuable and worthy of blessing. He sees us chosen. He sees us set apart if we accept his gift of grace. Thank you.